guys, welcome to another episode of the TFD Performance Podcast. My name's Ryan, also sometimes known as the Dojo Dietitian. And today I'm joined by my co-host, back on again, Lauren Nash, the ex-fit dietitian. How you going, Loz?
Hey, Dojo. Good. Thank you so much for having me. It's so funny. Hey, you know, your name is Ryan, but all of us on the team, we call you Dojo, Doja Cat, Mullet Man or something. So hearing that your name is actually Ryan is sometimes, you know, pretty funny. But anyway, thanks for having me on. It's been a while since we've spoken last, and I'm glad that we're doing another podcast together.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, a bit of a man of many names at this point. So Loz, I mean, you and Geordie have talked about something before on the podcast, which is kind of like a relevant topic at the moment, given the current like global financial sort of situation. And that one that you guys talked about was kind of how to eat healthy on a budget. So what I was thinking we could go over today is taking that sort of idea of eating healthy on a budget and narrowing that down for athletes. So how to eat like a professional athlete on a budget. So I guess let's go through some tips, kind of cover some things that you guys might have talked about on the last podcast, and then see what we can narrow in on and give people some specific suggestions to make sure that they're really getting the most out of their diet to optimize their training, performance, and recovery.
Yeah, for sure. Sounds good. So yeah, for anyone listening, Geordie, the Fight Dietitian, and myself, we have done a podcast before on eating healthy on a budget. So if that's something that you think you would like to listen to, or maybe you missed that one, scroll back through our channel and find it. But I think, yeah, a good segue into more specific to athletes would be just to go over a couple of those money-saving hacks. So we'll just go over a few of those now for those of you who think I can't be bothered to go back and listen to that podcast. Again, they're just relevant for everyone and a good reminder, as Dojo said, we're in a bit of a financial crisis right now, and that increased cost of living is not going to be slowing down anytime soon. And regardless if you have a pro athlete income or not, who doesn't like saving money? So I think, yeah, let's go over a few of those. So one of the first ones is when you are shopping, usually, you know, it'll say, I don't know, this peanut butter is $5, or it'll say 96 cents per 100 grams. I think a good way to kind of see if you're getting value for money is checking that price per 100 grams of products. Whenever you're in the supermarket, it will tell you at the bottom of the tag the price per 100 grams. And we were discussing off air how sometimes that can be a really good way to kind of assess, am I actually getting good value for money here, or am I just falling for maybe like a marketing trap, or it says it's on sale, so it's going to be cheaper, but actually the product standing next to it is just its regular price, but you're getting a cheaper price per 100 grams. So I think that's a good one to do. Do you want to give me the next one, Doge?
Yeah, for sure. So like you said, Loz, it can really depend on like the size of the product. And so like usually what tends to happen is when we buy things in like bigger quantities, we get them for a little bit cheaper. But for some foods, I mean, like for things like rice and stuff, they'll keep well in a big quantity. But for other things like vegetables and stuff, if we go in and buy like a huge amount all at once, we can end up like maybe saving a few dollars, but then maybe that food will end up going off after a while. So one really good alternative for that situation in order to still buy in bulk but preserve it is to buy things frozen. So things like frozen veggies, even some frozen meats, like if you're looking at fish and those kind of things, you can find frozen versions of those. Mm-hmm. That can be a really good way to still get something in bulk that is can potentially spoil just because it's going to be in that frozen form. And what we find with a lot of these foods as well, sometimes, you know, there's a bit of confusion or concern around frozen stuff being maybe not as good. But given like today's food technology and stuff in general, with most frozen food items like frozen veggies, frozen meat, a lot of it's snap frozen, which means it's frozen really soon after being harvested. And it means it retains a lot of those nutrients in the food for quite a long time, and obviously stops it from going off. So a really good alternative in order to be able to buy some of those, I guess, like perishable goods is to look for frozen options.
Definitely. Yep. And another tip is also getting creative in the kitchen and cooking homemade versions of your favorite takeaway so that you're not constantly buying Uber Eats, because apart from the fact that it's expensive, you know, once you pop on the delivery and service fee or whatever, you know, you're paying an extra, I don't even know how much. I think a few weeks ago we ordered Indian and I was just thinking, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm paying $10 for a thing of rice when I could probably cook it at home for probably a dollar. You know what I mean? So it's, if you I know not everyone likes cooking, and I'm not saying you have to like cooking, but if that's you, maybe you could even look into utilizing services such as HelloFresh, or in the UK, I know they have a service called Gusto, and it's where, you know, they give you the ingredients, they give you the recipe, you're guided through it, but you're saving money, you're probably saving on, you know, additional sauces and fats and things that you don't know that's going in that product as well. You're saving money, you're having fun, and you're eating healthier as well. So I think doing those types of things can be really helpful to save money, and also for our athletes here that have a nutrition plan or have nutritional goals that they need to stick to, still having the best of both worlds in terms of having your favorite Thai curry or maybe a homemade pizza, but a healthier version and one that's going to save you money. And I think that kind of segues into as well, if you are cooking at home, you've also got the resources to make a little bit extra or to freeze what you have left over so that you've almost got meal prep as well. Dojo, do you want to talk a bit about meal prep?
So kind of like it's the alternative to going to one of these prep companies like HelloFresh and stuff that'll give you the ingredients and stuff. If you're just willing to put in a little bit more forethought and planning yourself, you can save quite a lot of money just by planning out your cooking and eating for the week, and then sort of buying in bulk at the start, maybe like on the weekend, doing a big batch cook up, and then as you said, Loz, you can have some of the fresh meals that day or the day after, and then everything else kind of like freeze it until later in the week. That can be a really, really good way to make sure that you're saving money by, I guess just like getting everything kind of planned out and then saving it and spreading it out over the week rather than going in and buying smaller amounts and then having to kind of like go in every day and buy, like the smaller, like easier to cook versions or whatever. Like if we're looking at, for example, like the microwave rices versus like a big bulk bag of rice. The ones that you are like ready to cook or ready to go like on each day are going to be more expensive. So even though it's more convenient to do that and probably takes a little bit less planning, by just putting in that planning and like doing a little bit of preparation over the week, you can end up saving quite a lot of money.
Yeah, definitely. And I know a lot of my clients as well, they're either training multiple times a day and spend a lot of time in the gym, or maybe they're actually coaching or working at that gym in between their training sessions, and sometimes don't have time to go home and have lunch, or they feel they have to duck out. So, you know, most gyms are going to have a fridge and or a microwave. So if you have meal prepped or, you know, whatever you've done to create your lunches and snacks for the day, put in an Esky bag, take it to work, take it to the gym with you so that you're not stuck for food, you know, before or after a session. I think as well, not that it's necessarily always a money saving, but a time saving, and just making sure you're onto it is just having food ready to go and prepared. And like you said, Doge, just putting a little bit of extra time away in the week to try and prepare yourself and set yourself up can have a really good impact financially, and also just to make sure that you're never lacking food. Another money saving one as well, when you're at the shop, so you're online or you're talking to people or at a cafe, just watching out for marketing and health halos. If we're talking about, you know, what does an elite athlete eat? They probably eat organic food and farm fresh produce and blah, blah, blah. Maybe they do, but maybe it's not always worth the hype. Health halos, which are things such as gluten-free, organic, keto, vegan, sugar-free, refined sugar-free, MSG-free, all those types of things are health halos. And ultimately, you know, I would love to do a study and find out what the actual number is, but I feel like as soon as a packet has one of those terms on it, the price has increased ridiculously, because they're kind of, you know, really prying on people's vulnerabilities there to fall for this kind of mumbo jumbo in terms of what's healthier, a normal broccoli versus an organic broccoli. Still going to have the same nutritional content, but one's going to save you a lot more money. And of course, yes, if you're an elite pro athlete, probably doesn't matter, or maybe you've got those foods provided for you. But at the end of the day, if you're having fresh produce or you just anything that you're buying, if that organic option is a lot more expensive, you don't have to go for the organic option. So just being mindful of where you're spending that extra money in the supermarket, because I'm celiac, so I have to pay for gluten-free products. And I know that my supermarket, my grocery bills, even if I'm dining out, you know, I'm paying significantly more than I used to because I purely have to buy things that are gluten-free. And I call it the celiac tax, but, you know, everything is so much more expensive because unfortunately that's our only option. They don't always have a home brand gluten-free option or X, Y, and Z. So if you don't have to buy something with a certain word or language on it, you know, stick to the basics, and you'll save yourself some money.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Loz. I feel like for those sort of more specific food groups, like you said, celiac, or maybe if people are vegan and they start like limiting themselves to those particular options, like obviously for someone like yourself that's celiac and you have to eat those kind of foods, they can kind of charge as much as they want. I mean, like within reason with like competition with brands and stuff, but that's usually why you'll find those products being more expensive. So like you said, if you just go for a more generic option, it's usually going to be a fair bit cheaper.
Yep.
So I think that's a pretty good summary of terms of like different tips and stuff that you can use day to day or like week to week in the supermarket or at home in order to bring those costs down for your eating. But let's take a look now a bit more specific in terms of like athletes, maybe provide some examples and stuff around the types of foods that tend to be the cheapest and probably the most like effective or efficient way of getting in the specific nutrients that you need as an athlete. So things like your macronutrients, micronutrients, those kind of things, to make sure that we're facilitating those training needs. So if you were to just kind of like have the goal of eating healthy, like the tips we talked about before are going to be fine because you're not going to be too focused on hitting certain targets for macronutrients or whatever. But for the athletes listening in that might be wondering, okay, like I'm doing all this stuff, but I'd really like to know how to really optimize my intake through the week. What sort of food should I be looking for? We can kind of go through now and maybe provide a couple of examples and talk about that. So I guess let's start with protein, because I think protein is probably going to be the biggest chunk of expense when it comes to athletes and their sort of like nutritional costs, because obviously as athletes, their protein requirements are going to be slightly higher than most people in order to, you know, really facilitate that training and recovery. And so protein foods also tend to be a little bit more expensive when it comes to foods like meat. It's going to be probably more expensive per gram than something like potato or carbohydrate. So let's take a look through some of the options that we've got here. So you mentioned before, Loz, about looking at kind of like the cost per 100 gram when you're looking at these products and stuff on the label. That can be a good way to, I guess, like separate between different brands of like which one is going to be the best value for money. But if you want to look at like the actual the difference between like a type of food and the amount of protein that you're getting like per dollar or however you want to look at it, that can take a little bit more planning and forethought. You're going to have to actually go through and look at these sort of numbers. And I'm sure for the people listening in, we'll probably come up with maybe a bit of a resource for this later on down the track in order to provide some more examples. But we can run over some general tips for that at the moment. So do you kind of want to go over quickly, Loz, the examples for some, I guess, like comparisons between different meats and maybe what type of meats athletes should be looking for if they're getting their protein from animal-based sources?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a good point what you made, how, you know, I said before, if we're looking for value, go for the price per 100 grams. But if we're looking at things, okay, well, how much protein am I getting per 100 grams? As you said, you know, a cheaper option such as buying bulk sausages might be cheaper per 100 grams, but the amount of protein that you're actually going to get from those 100 grams as opposed to a bit of, you know, lean chicken breast or steak is going to be totally different. So this is, again, where for athletes, we do have more of a nutritional priority here in terms of, yes, obviously we want to stick to a budget, but you also need to acknowledge that you have high protein requirements and you need lean, high quality protein as well. So it's, like you said, it's kind of that sacrifice here where, okay, need to get good quality protein in, but how can I do it relatively cheap? Chicken is one of the cheapest sources of protein, especially if we're talking about athletes. Ideally, we'd want to be going for something lean, such as chicken breast, chicken tenderloin. We've done a crunched a couple of numbers just for examples for this podcast, and chicken works out at around 45 cents per gram. So it's a pretty good one. If we're looking at mince, for those of you that like mince, naturally a lean beef mince, or they call it a high quality or five-star mince, is going to be a lot cheaper than a regular mince or say a three-star mince. However, you are going to be getting pretty good value for money in terms of you're going to be getting more protein per 100 grams than you would for the reduced quality mince. So it's like, okay, yes, I am paying a bit more, but I'm actually getting more protein, and I'll need less of the product to meet my protein requirements. I've also got things such as fish. So for example, tin tuna and olive oil even works out at around 30 cents per gram, and you're getting a double hit here because you're getting protein and you're getting a really good source of unsaturated fats. So for those of you that maybe even don't eat meat, but you have fish, tuna, such a convenient, easy, cheap, effective way to get protein in, whether it's with a meal or a snack. We've also got eggs. They work out around 46 cents per gram. We've got, obviously, you can buy those in bulk. You don't always have to buy farm fresh or cage free if your budget doesn't allow for it, but eggs and egg, and they're a great source of protein and again, fat as well. And then moving on to plant sources even as well. So as Ryan mentioned, Obviously, meat-related proteins are a lot more expensive than plant-based sources. However, if you are having your protein from plant-based sources, such as, say, lentils, beans, chickpeas, you're going to have a lot more volume to reach your nutritional requirements. But you're also going to be getting other things such as fiber and carbohydrates when you start having those plant-based sources. So then it's kind of expanding our what we're hitting in terms of, it's not just protein now, we're getting fiber, we're getting carbohydrates, all of those types of things as well. So they are a really good cost-effective way of getting protein in though. You know, lentils, you can buy a tin for, you know, 90 cents at the supermarket, as opposed to buying maybe one chicken breast, which would be $4. So you can already see, obviously, depending on your nutritional requirements, you might be vegan, or your religious dietary preferences might restrict you from having meat. There's a way for everyone, but being aware of cost, and but also how much protein you're getting per gram, and how much you're paying for that protein as well.
Yeah. So that's like a really good good summary there, Loz. I think especially comparing between the different types of foods, I just want to kind of like touch back on the numbers there as well, just to draw a bit of an example to maybe give the listeners a bit more of an idea of what that looks like when it comes to like your week to week shopping. Because like if we say like, you know, 45 cents a gram of protein, it doesn't sound like a lot compared to like 35 cents. Like what's the difference there? Like a 10 cents difference. But if you're an athlete and you're eating like 150 grams a day over a week, that's going to be like $20-$30 difference. Just between those like small differences between those sources. So that's a really good thing to keep in mind. Now, in terms of carbohydrates, if we want to jump onto the next macro, generally these ones seem to be a bit cheaper than protein, but it still pays, as we said to like towards the start of the podcast, it pays to buy these things in bulk. And generally, if we go for the more like unrefined versions of these products, they're going to tend to be cheaper, but also usually a lot more healthy. They'll include a lot more fiber. A lot of the nutrients aren't going to be taken off through the refinement process. So these are going to be your foods, like things like rice, which you can buy in big bags, like things like basmati rice, jasmine rice. You can get in these like big, like 10 kilo bags and stuff. And that's going to store pretty well in your cupboard. And then like the actual cost per 100 grams or whatever that you're going to be getting is like way, way less than say buying the same amount in like bread or some sort of like refined carbohydrate source. Some other really good options are things like oats, especially around like breakfast and that kind of thing. And then also potatoes are going to be a really cheap, good source of carbohydrates. And then as you said, Loz, like for someone who maybe is like really sticking to a budget, like they're quite tight for money, you can sort of hit two birds with one stone here. So as you said, some of those plant-based sources are also really high in carbohydrates. So for example, if you were to get your, like, say your target for protein was like 100 grams per day, and you were trying to get that through plant-based source, you could get that 100 grams of protein through like beans. That same 100 grams of protein would also include another 300 grams of carbs. So you don't have to have like a source of protein and a source of carbohydrates in that instance. You can just hit them with like two birds with one stone, and it's going to be like quite a cheap like food basically. So plant-based tends to be a fair bit cheaper because those animal products are a bit more expensive when it comes to protein sources. Now, the last one to kind of go over here is fats. And in particular, we obviously want to target our more quote unquote like healthy fats, which is the unsaturated fats. So do you want to kind of go through there, Loz, and maybe give the listeners some examples around different fat foods they should be looking for if they're on a budget?
Definitely. And I think, as you said, carbohydrates are probably the one macronutrient where we can really get more value for our products. I think because, as you said, you know, rice, potato, oats, all of those things are such staples around the world that we can save a lot of money. I think similar to protein, fats can be quite expensive, but also I think that's largely attributed to kind of health trends and everything. You know, for example, bulletproof coffee is going to be like $8 as opposed to a long black, which is $4, or buying avocado oil or almond butter or all these kind of really trendy sources of fat that the price are really jacked up. So I think if we're trying to get really good sources of fats, and that's looking at poly and monounsaturated fats, they're our healthy fats, things such as peanut butter, peanut butter is going to be cheaper than almond butter or hazelnut butter or whatever butter they sell in your local health food store. And even Coles and Woolies, they have their own natural peanut butter as well. So we're not obviously saying, yes, elite athletes need to be having that Kraft, really processed peanut butter with added salt and sugar. Obviously the best source of fat in terms of, you know, nut spreads is going to be the natural ones. So buying ones in bulk as well. I know Mavers, they do 750 gram ones, and I go through so much peanut butter. I've stopped buying the smaller ones. I buy the large ones now, and you do save money over the long term. Things as well, such as olive oil, is one of the superior cooking oils, and you can generally buy those in bulk as well. And a little goes a long way with cooking oils as well. You can add it in dressings. You can cook your food in it. You can marinate things in it. You could add it to dips or pestos, those types of things. So it's very versatile, and it'll last you a long time. Also got things such as nuts. So some nuts can be quite expensive, but you can also buy things such as almonds in bulk bags for a generally pretty good price. They make a great snack or an addition to breakfast, cereals, smoothies, all those types of things. And as we alluded to earlier, tinned fish in oil. So for example, your tuna or your salmon in oil, they're a really cheap, convenient option. And you're getting a good source of mono and polyunsaturated fats in there as well, especially if you're getting a good quality tuna that's in olive oil, not necessarily just an olive blend. Just if you are aware of that, just have a quick look on the ingredient list on the back of the tin, because sometimes it'll say in oil, but it's actually maybe sunflower or canola oil, which maybe we don't want to be having in excess, but typically it'll say in olive oil. Those types of things are really good ways for us to get our fats in from healthier and cheaper sources.
Yeah, that's a really good point too that you kind of touched on, Loz, especially for fats. Like they really do seem to be the one food group that is, like, I guess, like, maybe the most contended with in, like, the health sphere. Like, all the influencers kind of, like, go back and forth about different types of fats and stuff. And then there's always, like, the new type of nut oil or whatever that's coming out. And then obviously because they're new and they're trendy, they can charge way more for it. So I think that's just another one where you kind of just have to be careful of the marketing and like, things that have always been good sources generally continue to be good sources, and like things that are popular tend to be cheaper as well. So like you said, like peanut butter that's been around forever, it's usually going to be way cheaper than say like the macadamia butter or something that comes out and is like $10 for like a 500 gram tub. So
I think
hopefully, go ahead.
Actually, you prompted a thought, but you're so true in terms of like the good old basics sometimes are actually where the value is at, both nutritionally and financially. And it's so true, you know, they say what's old is new again, and so many times they'll say like, oh, superfoods are like blueberry powders and Inca berries and goji berries and blah blah blah, but good, you know, long-term, probably pre-caveman day superfoods are things such as oats, things such as eggs, things such as potato, greens, like healthy things that any person could just buy from a supermarket. I think as well, just remembering what health is and what good food actually is. It's not getting caught up in all the lingo and the fancy diets and fad diets. It's actually just sticking to the basics. And you'll probably find that so many elite athletes, I know if Jordy was on this podcast, he'd be able to back us up, but they're not eating all these fancy things or following fad diets or buying expensive juice cleansers. They're eating good basic food, staple meals, oats for brekkie, you know, maybe pasta at lunchtime, lean meat, steak, veggies, potatoes at dinner. They're not doing anything fancy. And of course, yes, elite athletes might be endorsed by food companies and therefore they don't have to worry about paying for it. Or maybe they're lucky enough to have a personal chef and don't have to do the meal prep for them. Of course, yes, elite athletes don't have those financial barriers that general population do, but there are still things you can implement in your day-to-day diet to still get that nutritional quality, but not having to spend an arm and a leg that people probably perceive top-level athletes do.
Yeah, absolutely right, Loz. And I think it's like, as with one thing, as with all things, as usual, just nail the fundamentals. Like something we always talk about on the podcast, nailing the fundamentals, sticking to like the basic stuff. As you said, all of the foods that like are generally healthy and have been considered healthy for a long time are also going to be most of the foods that are going to be cheap. And then just sticking to, I guess, like fundamentals of good like food planning. So a lot of the ways that we end up saving money is just by putting in a bit of forethought, as we talked about with the tips and stuff earlier, buying things in bulk, looking for those more generic options. And then, yeah, a little bit of planning can go a long way when it comes to saving money. And then, like you said, we touched over some examples of foods and things. I'm sure over the next couple of days or coming weeks, there'll be some content coming out in terms of maybe some specific examples, comparisons, and that kind of stuff to give you guys more of an idea for everyone listening in. So stay tuned for some of that content. If you have any questions about anything that we've talked about today or on any of the other podcasts, feel free to shoot us a message. Anything else, Loz?
No, I think that's pretty good. All summed up, I reckon.
Easy. All right. Well, thanks so much for jumping on, Loz. It's been a pleasure. And I'll talk to you again soon.
Talk to you soon. Thanks for listening, everyone.
And there it is, another episode of the TFD Performance Podcast. If you like this episode and you enjoy our content, then you will absolutely love our new TFD Performance Hub. Our first course on the Hub is the Performance Nutrition for BJJ course, which is perfect for grapplers looking to master their nutrition. And if you follow the link in the description, you can even snag 40% off that course. This podcast will be available through the podcast app, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and if you follow along our socials at @_fightdietitian, you can see all of the best bits from our podcast episodes. Thanks for listening in, and I'll see you guys for the next episode of the TFD Performance Podcast.